unlike the predictions from our opponents that the skies would open and terrible things would happen, instead, you know, there are 11,000 couples who have married here. And for the most part, no one else really cares.
Mark Solomon from a pro-gay group called Mass Equality talking about the Massachusetts Senate vote yesterday allowing non-resident gay couples to come to that state and get married, the benefits of gay marriage there in Massachusetts. It's the subject of our conversation here in the first part of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Coming up after our conversation with Chris Mino, president of the Massachusetts Family Institute, on that story from Massachusetts and gay marriage, we'll be talking with Gretchen Passantino of Answers in Action. Oprah Winfrey is obviously queen of the broadcast airwaves when it comes to television. She is a media outlet in and of herself. She's also a spiritual leader of sorts, or at least some think she would have herself be a spiritual leader. We've talked about the Oprahfication of America, about the Oprahfication of Christianity. We're going to talk about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey herself coming up here in about 10 minutes on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, live this Wednesday, the 16th of July, 877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Before we introduce our guest to talk about Massachusetts and gay marriage, let's listen to a story from National Public Radio on the Massachusetts Senate vote yesterday allowing non-resident gay marriage.
In Massachusetts, the state Senate has voted to repeal an old law that prevents out-of-staters from marrying in Massachusetts if they could not legally marry in their home state. It's expected to pass the House later this week and be signed by the governor shortly after. NPR's Tovia Smith has this report.
Massachusetts lawmakers have seen their share of votes on gay marriage, and it's usually just short of a circus.
This is turning into a public safety issue.
But yesterday's vote had none of that. It was so subdued it might as well have been about a highway bill.
Is there an objection? She has none. On page two.
Just a handful of lawmakers even spoke.
I hope this bill is passed. Thank you.
Not a single one in opposition. And in minutes, it was over.
All those in favor say aye, opposed no. The ayes have it, and the bill is passed to be engrossed.
Mark Solomon is with the pro-gay marriage group Mass Equality. He says this vote was an easier sell, partly because lawmakers were not so much voting for gay marriage as they were voting against a nearly century-old law aimed at preventing interracial marriage. And Solomon says opposition to gay marriage has softened over the past 4 years.
Unlike the predictions from our opponents that the skies would open and terrible things would happen, instead, you know, there are 11,000 couples who have married here. And for the most part, no one else really cares.
California was the first to make gay marriage available to out-of-staters, but a constitutional ban comes to a vote there in November and could leave same-sex married couples in legal limbo. In Massachusetts, such a ban has already been rejected, so it's seen as a safer bet. Mitchell Karp, a 53-year-old consultant from New York, says he's already made plans to come scout out sites for his wedding on Cape Cod.
It makes me ecstatic, you know, waking up every day and saying, me too, we belong, we have rights. And not pushed into the backgrounds of invisibility.
Karp's home state, New York, is one of just a few that have indicated they'll recognize gay marriages performed elsewhere. Most others have legislation or constitutional amendments banning recognition, and the issue is likely to clog up the courts for years.
What this will do is open up a Pandora's box of lawsuits to challenge the marriage requirements in other states.
Chris Mino, who lobbies against gay marriage for the Massachusetts Family Institute, calls the move an assault on other states' rights.
It's open war on the other states regarding their definitions of marriage.
Mino says he hopes the news from Massachusetts will serve as a wake-up call. Peter Sprigg with the Family Research Council agrees. Just like Massachusetts' 2004 court decision legalizing gay marriage prompted many states to pass Defense of Marriage Acts, he hopes this radical move, as he calls it, will boost support for a federal constitutional amendment that has so far failed to gain traction.
It's going to take something dramatic, I think, to shift the conversation. So from our perspective, the silver lining in this might be that it would mobilize pro-family citizens to rise up and make the federal amendment a realistic possibility.
For all the principled arguments for and against gay marriage, Several lawmakers voting to open Massachusetts doors to out-of-staters also noted a more practical concern. They say the move could bring some 30,000 weddings to Massachusetts in the next few years, boosting the economy by more than $100 million. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.
Chris Mino joins us now, president of the Massachusetts Family Institute, to tell us a little bit more and answer some of our questions about Massachusetts' Senate vote yesterday to allow non-resident gay couples to marry in that state. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Good to be with you.
So what happened in Massachusetts yesterday? Was this some clever legislative maneuvering?
Oh, absolutely. This bill was, thanks to some of the pressures we were able to put on it in the spring, was sent back to committee for further study, meaning that's the burial ground. But suddenly, just 3 days ago, it was miraculously resurrected. And I noticed my good opponent, Mark Solomon, was quoted here earlier on the show. He was quoted in New York Times today as saying that in consultation with others, quote-unquote, worried about the right-wing influence in the national elections, they decided to bring this bill out. I wonder who those others were.
Who do you suppose they were?
Well, I think that there's some national political leaders who really want to bring this out on the forefront, not on our behalf, but on a behalf of subverting the move to have state marriage amendments, constitutional amendments, and also to muddy the waters in California. They're hedging their bets that if they lose the California marriage amendment in November, I'm sorry, lose that the amendment wins and gay marriage is struck down in California, which it should, that this will keep a door open for them to promulgate this radical social experiment throughout the 49 states.
Chris, where does the Senate's action here in Massachusetts leave the rest of the states with regard to now their residents are going to come back from a short trip to Massachusetts, married in Massachusetts, but in limbo in their home state? What's going on?
Well, first of all, remember, the Senate vote is just the Senate vote. It now has to move to the House. And we do have more opposition in the House. And so there's still a battle to be fought. But if we lose that battle, then Massachusetts will begin to export gay marriage to the other states. They will residents from other states cannot come to Massachusetts and be married if the marriage would not be recognized in their own state. That could be for a number of reasons, including age or family relationships and such. But it has also been implemented since 2004 on gay marriage in Massachusetts, limited only to state residents. That's, however, out of the so-called approximately 9,000 marriages, a significant number of them have already happened in other states, and there have been lawsuits already initiated in other states from people who came illegally to Massachusetts to be married. Now, if we legalize it, we will become the Las Vegas for a homosexual marriage, and lawsuits galore will come upon the other states.
Okay, then. Does this action, if successful, if passed by the House in Massachusetts, does it make a federal marriage amendment imperative, and does it make it more difficult to push forward a federal marriage amendment?
Well, I think it makes it easier. We've been stonewalled in Washington on the federal marriage amendment, being cited even by presidential candidate McCain as being unnecessary, that this should be a states' rights issue. Well, the move by Massachusetts is an assault on states' rights. It's an assault on our federal system. And so this should heighten the awareness and the rallying call politically for a federal marriage amendment that will settle this once and for all and level the playing field. We cannot have radical different definitions of marriage between the 50 states, just as we all agree to drive on the right side of the road.
Do you think that the activists who are pushing this in Massachusetts and then, of course, nationwide have as their goal little pockets where gay marriage can be legal, or do they have as their goal essentially forcing the rest of the states to accept gay marriage in one form or another? About 1 minute, Chris.
Yes, that's without a doubt. That is their goal, including Tim Gills, George Soros, and the other multimillionaire and billionaires that are financing many of these activities. Their goal is to have homosexual marriage as the standard throughout the 50 states and never let the people vote on this. They've always worked through the courts, and now through Tim Gill and others, they're winning more and more state legislatures over, and they're beginning to win in some state legislatures. So this is a real turning point for our nation. This is a watershed moment, and we have got to wake up and smell the roses. And right now, they don't smell very good.
Chris Mino is president of the Massachusetts Family Institute. You can find a direct link to the Massachusetts Family Institute under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on-demand. You'll find a direct link to Massachusetts Family Institute. Chris, keep up the good work, and thank you for being our guest.
Always a pleasure, Todd, and thank you for fighting the good fight for all of us.
Happy to do it. Well, when we come back from this break, Gretchen Passantino is going to be our guest. I don't know what time she comes on here because I'm generally working during the afternoon, but right around mid-afternoon, late afternoon, all over the country, many women, some men, sit down on the sofa, warm up the television, and spend an hour with Oprah. Oprah is a success story. She is kind of woman of the year every year. She is a spiritual leader to some. We'll talk about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey with Gretchen Passantino right after this. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.